To understand the above, we must first repeat what we already said many times. Namely, what is the purpose of creation? We learned that it is to do good to his creations. However, in order not to have the bread of shame, it was set up so that by this the shame upon reception of the delight and pleasure would be cancelled. This matter is called to aim in order to bestow upon receiving the pleasure. At that time, because the receiver does not intend for his own benefit, but rather all that he receives is because he wishes to please the Creator, as this was his will, for he wants to do good, by this the shame was removed. For this reason, the lights departed from the Kelim, the vessels, when the intention to bestow departs from them. In the upper partsufim, this is called Izdachkut of the Masach, the refinement of the Masach, of the screen. And by this they have no Or Chozer, no reflected light. Or Chozer means that the lower one wants to return the joy to the upper one. This means that as the upper light comes to the lower one in order to do good to his creations, the lower one now returns the pleasure to the upper one. That is, the lower one wants to delight the upper one by receiving the abundance from the upper one. Likewise, for this reason, the klipot, the shells or the peels, were born, whose quality is the will to receive only for themselves. The good and the bad that we feel in our world also extends from this reason. All the corruptions and corrections revolve only around this point, called desire to receive pleasure. If the vessel of reception remains as it emerged, receiving in order to receive, it would cause shame due to the disparity of form. For this reason, there was the correction called in order to bestow. This matter, meaning turning the will to receive into working in order to bestow, is all the work that the lower ones have. In the upper worlds, this matter is called departure of lights or expansion of lights. That is, the aim to bestow is what moves all the worlds. In other words, if the lower one has the power of bestowal, he receives the upper abundance. Moreover, the measure of the abundance that the lower one receives depends on the measure of bestowal that the lower one has. We learned that the thicker one is, and the more he can overcome and give Or Chozer, the higher the degree he receives. In other words, everything depends on the measure of bestowal that the lower one can give. We already said that this will to receive is the only thing that is regarded as a new creation and is called a kli, a vessel, in which the upper abundance is poured. From this extends that the lower creatures should discern four discernments in their will to receive. The third discernment is that he does not want any reward for the exertion he makes in strength and money. That is, he works in concealment between man and man. And between man and God, he says to the Creator, I am grateful to you for giving me the desire and craving to do something to please you. This is my entire reward in life, that I have been privileged with serving you. In return, I ask that you will give me the reward of more desire and craving to have no foreign thoughts to do something for myself, rather my only wish is to work for the sake of the Creator. I think that there is nothing more important in the world that a person can expect to be rewarded with in life, which will make him happy in the world. The whole world works for wealth. Everybody wants to achieve it, but they do not know what happiness is. However, in this, everyone is equal. They want to be happy. And I do know what happiness is. If one can be rewarded with serving the king and not think of one's own benefit, but of the benefit of the king, that person is the happiest in the world. How do I know this? Since this is what I feel. Well, what reward do I want? Only this. This is why he says, Lord, grant me works for the sake of the Creator. It is as our sages said, the reward for a mitzvah is a mitzvah. For this is the reward that I expect. This discernment is called bestowing in order to bestow, and this is regarded as lishma, for her sake. When a person wants to exit the state of the general public, which receives in order to receive, the order is that he enters the second state called bestowing in order to receive, which is called lo lishma. This is so because the act is of bestowal, but he hopes to be rewarded by performing acts of bestowal. In this too, there are two discernments. One, he wants people to reward him, so it seems as though he is doing good deeds, to the extent that people compel him by giving him respect and so forth. It follows that it seems as though he is observing Torah and mitzvot because people are commanding him to observe, and it is not the Creator who obligates. Two, he is working in concealment and does not want any reward from people. He does not show them the work that he does, and naturally, they are giving him nothing in return. Instead, he wants the Creator to pay him for observing Torah and mitzvot. Here, there is a big difference between the state of lo lishma. In that state, the Creator is the one who commands to observe Torah and Mitzvot, and it is not people who compel him to observe Torah and Mitzvot. This is why that person is called a servant of the Creator, since all his work is only to observe the commandments of the Creator, which he has commanded us. However, he wants reward for his work, that the Creator will pay his reward and not people. However, our sages said, one should always engage in Torah and Mitzvot, even if lo lishma, since from lo lishma we come to lishma. In the work lo lishma, by which a person wants to come to the degree of lishma, in that state, this is where one needs extra caution and much understanding and special guidance how to exit the state of lo lishma and arrive at lishma. This place is very complicated because one cannot scrutinize the truth, meaning which is true and which is false, as it is human nature not to see any faults in oneself because a person is close to himself. For this reason, he is biased, and bribery blinds the eyes of the wise. Moreover, even if he sees the truth that he is marching on the wrong path and must change his way, meaning to come out of self-love, the klipa of Egypt controls the body. A person can come out of that control only with help from above. As our sages said, man's inclination overcomes him every day, and were it not for the Creator's help, he would not be able to overcome it. Therefore, the work he sees that he cannot work in order to receive reward, but only if he promises to his body that it will receive some reward for his labor. To the extent that the body believes this, that it will receive reward, to that extent he can observe Torah and Mitzvot. But when he doubts the reward, he has no fuel for work. In such a state, when a person yearns to be a servant of the Creator in order not to receive reward, the body protests with all its might and does not give him rest when he says to it, I want to observe Torah and Mitzvot without any reward. I want to observe the mitzvah of faith, meaning believe in the greatness of the Creator, although the body does not feel the greatness and importance of the Creator, that it is worthwhile to obey him and observe his commandments in every detail. By this, I am serving him, and I imagine that if the greatest in the generation were here to serve, he would not let just anyone serve him, but has chosen a handful of people, and I am among them. How happy would I be then? So why here? With serving the Creator. I cannot work without any reward, and I expect to be given something in return for the service. This is so because there I see a person whom everyone respects and tell me how great he is. I can grasp the greatness that they say about him. In that case, I serve him because of his importance. But with the Creator, We need to believe in his greatness and importance, and especially believe that he is good and does good, since the body does not want to believe, but to see with its own eyes that this is so. For this reason, sometimes one overcomes and has partial faith, meaning to give him small portions. However, he does not have the strength to believe in whole faith, as it is written in the introduction to the study of the Ten Sfirot. Now we can understand why a person cannot advance in the work of bestowal. That is, where he does not see a reward for his work. He has no fuel and the body slacks in its work. We should say that this is only for lack of faith. When a person knows this, meaning when he knows the reason that causes him to weaken it so he does not have the strength to work, there is hope that he will be able to correct himself in a way that he will be healthy and strong and will be able to go to work. But when he has learned the cause of the illness, meaning that the reason is only that he lacks faith to believe in the greatness and importance of the Creator. The Zohar calls this Shechinah in the dust. And our work is to raise the Shechinah from the dust. This gives us a different order in the work of the Creator. This means that one should know that there are actions and intentions, and we were given the observance of Torah and Mitzvot in word and in action. However, all of them, both Torah and Mitzvot, have an intention too, meaning to aim what I want in return for observing Torah and Mitzvot, meaning what I must intend while observing Torah and Mitzvot. Primarily, he should know for whose sake he must observe them. That is, it cannot be said of people in the general public that they should have intentions because they will come from lo lishma to lishma, and the actions alone will do. For this reason, they cannot be obligated to keep intentions. Rather, as they observe Torah and Mitzvot in action, which applies to Mitzvot dependent on words or actions, the intention is not important then. For even if they have no intention, but rather they aim that now they are observing what the Creator has commanded them to do, this is enough for them in lo lishma.
But when a person wants to achieve lishma, meaning he wants to observe Torah and Mitzvot not in order to be rewarded, but rather wants to bring contentment to the Creator, to achieve this, there is the matter of intention. That is, this mitzvah I am observing, with what intention am I doing this?
It
It is known that it is impossible to work without reward. Thus, how can it be said to a person that it's worthwhile to work not in order to receive reward? After all, he needs a reward. There's only one thing that can be said to him. He will be rewarded with serving the king. And there is no greater pleasure than serving the king. Then according to the importance of the king, so he will enjoy. That is, the measurement of the pleasure from serving the king depends on the importance of the king, on the extent to which he appreciates him. But since the Shekhinah is in exile and is in the dust, it is said in the Zohar that one should aim to raise the Shekhinah from the dust. Dust means lowliness, which a person tramples with his feet. This means that in everything a person does, in observing Torah and Mitzvot, he should intend that by this he will be rewarded with raising the Shekhinah from the dust. It means that he wants reward for his labor in Torah and Mitzvot to feel that he is serving a great king. That is, during the labor he feels that for spirituality, when he wants to work in order to bestow, at that time he tastes the taste of dust during his work. This is so because there is a great concealment on spirituality. When he wants to work in order to bestow, at that time he tastes the taste of dust during this work. This is so that we neither see nor feel the importance of the matter. From this, all the obstacles come to him. But if the Creator were to remove the concealment from him and he would feel the importance of the king, this would be his entire reward that he wishes for himself in life. This is so because he wants to serve the king, as it is written that we say in the prayer, and came to Zion. Blessed is he, our God, who has created us for his glory. A person wants to be able to thank the Creator for creating him for his glory, meaning to serve the Creator. This means that a person will agree with all of his organs, and that his mouth and heart will be the same, in that he gives thanks to the Creator for creating man in his glory and for not creating man for his own benefit. But that his will and yearning will be only to bestow contentment upon the Creator. A person should have this intention in everything he does. Thanks to this deed he's doing, the Creator will give him the intention that all his actions will be only in order to bestow. That he will cancel his that he cannot exit its control, and is in exile among the nations of the world in his body. It is known that the Zohar says that every person is a small world. It was also said that there are 70 nations in the world, as well as the people of Israel. Also, within each person there are the 70 nations, as well as Israel, and the Israel in him is in exile under the rule of the 70 nations within him. This is as our sages said, he who comes to purify is aided. We should interpret the word comes. We can say that comes is the act that he is doing. He wants to do it lishma, but he cannot because he is in exile under the rule of the nations of the world. Aided from above means that the Creator redeems him from the exile among the nations who governed him. It turns out that when a person performs an act and wants the act to be lishma, and not because of self-love, meaning to receive some reward for the act, namely a reward in this world or the next world. Primarily, he wants something for his action. However, he wants the Creator to give him complete satisfaction from the act that he does, and to feel that he is the happiest person in the world now, in that he is serving the King. But if he receives anything else besides the service that he does, it blemishes the service for the King. The evidence of this is that he wants something more. But what can he demand is why he has no inspiration and true sensation when he's speaking to the King. For example, he's asking the King that when he blesses for pleasures and says, "Blessed are you, O Lord, who brings bread out of the earth," why does he not have the manners to be standing with fear and trepidation as one stands before the King? Rather, he speaks to the Creator and has no emotion, no feeling with whom he speaks. This pains him, but since he is incapable of correcting himself, he asks the Creator to help him and give him some revelation, so he will feel before whom he stands, before the King of Kings. So why does he not feel it? It was said about it in the Zohar, he who comes to purify is aided. It asks with what, and it replies with a holy soul. That is, he is given abundance from above, called neshama, which helps him have the ability to come out of the governance of self-love and enter kedusha. Meaning that all of his thoughts will be only to bestow contentment upon the Creator. Through the soul that he obtains, the concealment and restriction are removed and he feels the greatness of the Creator. At that time, the body surrenders to the light of the Creator as a candle before a torch.
And
he feels that he has come up by this, we will understand what the Holy Ari said, that prior to the exodus from Israel, prior to the exodus from Egypt, the people of Israel were in 49 gates of Tumah, impurity. And then the King of Kings appeared to them and redeemed them. The question is, why did he wait until that time when they were in utter lowliness? According to the above, we should understand that when they saw their true lowly state, that they have regressed and could not advance to the side of Kedusha, they understood that no messenger could help them, as with the allegory about the doctors. Then they cried out only to the Creator to help them. This is why it is written, I am He and not the messenger. The meaning of He Himself redeeming them and delivering them from exile means that they attained that there are no messengers in the world, but the Creator does everything. This is as it is written in the Zohar, He who comes to purify is aided. It says, with what is He aided? With a holy soul. That is, he receives the revelation of his godliness called Neshama. By this he attains his root, and then a person annuls as a candle before a torch. After he has obtained the Neshama, for then he feels that it is a part of God above. Now we can understand what we asked. Why did he call specifically to Joseph and not to the rest of his brothers to tell them, as he said to Joseph, deal with me mercy and truth? Rashi interprets that the mercy we do with the dead is true mercy, for he expects no reward. Here there is a contradiction to the words of Rashi in that he interprets the verse, and I give you one portion more than your brothers. He said, because you toil with my burial. This is perplexing with regard to what he says, that Jacob said to Joseph to deal with him true mercy, since he expects no reward. After all, he's paying him for the trouble by giving him one portion more than to his brothers. Here is an intimation of the order of the work from beginning to end. Jacob commanded his son Joseph. One, deal true mercy. This is so because the beginning of the work is that we must achieve Lishma, which is called bestowing in order to bestow. And we demand no reward for the work. This is the meaning of what Rashi interprets, that the mercy we do with the dead is that he expects no reward. They only do mercy, meaning acts of bestowing in order to bestow, without expecting a reward.
Indeed, there is the main discernment, which is the purpose of creation. For the lower one to receive delight and pleasure, but with the aim to bestow. That discernment too is implied in what was said, and deal with me mercy and truth, meaning that this mercy will bring him to the truth. Truth means, as it is written in the study of the Ten Sefirot, the seventh correction of the 13 corrections of Tikna is truth, called by the name Two Holy Apples, which are the two panim, the two faces. He interprets there in Opnimi that when attaining the seventh correction, called truth, we see that his guidance with the creatures is indeed a guidance of good and doing good. That is, the guidance that was previously only in faith, now they have been rewarded with attainment and feeling that this is truly so. At that time, they receive the good in the form of receiving in order to bestow. This is the purpose of creation, for the creatures to receive the delight and pleasure, for this realizes the purpose of creation. Now we can interpret the verse, the Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth, in two ways as well. One, the Lord is near, means that He hears the prayer of all who call upon Him in truth. That is, they feel when they are exerting in acts of bestowal, yet see that they are far from the intention to bestow. This means that they see the truth, that there is a great distance between the act and the intention, that they cannot exit the intention of self-love. They pray to the Creator to deliver them from this enslavement, and this is all they want and crave. This is the only salvation they expect. They believe that as long as one is in self-love, he is separated from the life of lives. The verse says about this, the Lord is near to all who call upon Him. The Lord will give them the truth, meaning that they will be able to deal true mercy and will not settle for dealing untrue mercy, meaning lo lishma. And since it is a prayer for the truth, the Creator helps them and they receive from Him the quality of truth.
Two.
They want to be rewarded with the quality of truth, which is the seventh correction of the 13 corrections of Dikna. Through this correction, He is revealed to the created beings, and indeed everyone sees that the Creator leads His world with a guidance of good and doing good. This is called revealed chasadim, mercies. When the Creator's mercies are revealed to all, that they are true.
The entire justification He gives here to Lishma sounds egotistical. Because he says, all my reward in my life is that I got to serve you, and I asked for you to reward me by this, for you to give me more desire and longing to not have any foreign thoughts or to do anything for myself. Rather, my only wish is the work for the sake of the Creator. It's like he's asking the Creator to change his desire.
Yes.
But if he changes his desire, so just like he had a desire to receive before, now he'll have a desire to bestow.
Yeah.
What's the correction in that? That's another form of reception. He's still working according to his desire, according to his will.
So that means that you can't touch the water. You see, that must remain in a person.
So you'll have the feeling of the correction.
Yeah, and for that, he'll get an intention to bestow.
Yes, and there must be a strain between those two always, otherwise you're a machine.
Malach.
An angel.
Tov. Beseder.
Okay. Yeah.
It's really difficult to express in words the impression of such a great article and the feeling that during the reading, in truth, you can somewhat, just in even the smallest ways, refine our intention that Rabash gives us here as we're going. And I wanted to ask, I identify that in any other given time, I am in difficulty to be in such a similar intention, even somewhat, than how we feel when Rabash is operating upon us. The question is, how can we be more accessible to such kind of work, to such refinement of the prayer and intention, like here and now, during the reading of the article?
Yeah, that's a good state for scrutiny.
He talks in the article about the body that needs to have this grace of truth, mercy and truth, since it separates him from the life of lives, and he needs to bestow. And in another stage, he talks about the body being nullified like a candle before a torch. It's not clear whether the body needs to always resist or needs to disappear inside the annulment.
That's the work of man. It's not that the body does it on its own.
The question is whether a person needs to place the body as resisting everything when it comes to bestowal.
That depends on the intentions of man and the intentions of the Creator, if they go together or not.
So the question is whether it's the correct measurement where the body resists. Is that a correct kind of measure?
Yes.
So what does he say, that he nullifies like a candle before the torch towards this impression?
The Creator gives him such states.
I want to ask, I heard that, let's say, a monkey can't convince the intention for the sake of the next world, and thousands of people can be convinced to kill millions for the sake of the next world, no problem. And here I'm asking, he's saying that a person can't work without a reward.
Right.
Unless you have to tell the body that there's something holy that you're serving. Why, nevertheless, can we not convince the body that there's a great king that's worthwhile to serve? That using it is the reward. Why, in the first case, you can convince a person, there too there's concealment, and here too there's concealment. And for the next world, you can convince a person to do all kinds of things. And we can't actually convince the body. What's the problem here? You know, even without some kind of exalted things and intention, it's above nature. Simply not to say they not kill people, other people, so that for that you will get the next world. Even that we're not capable of explaining.
We don't believe in the next world.
As a fact, there's millions that are willing to kill other people for the sake of the next world.
For them, the next world isn't what you think it is. What you think is the last stage of development.
So how can you convince the body that it's worthwhile to serve the king?
If you're in an environment that entirely everyone respects the Creator and thinks that He is the first and the last, and except for Him there's nothing in control, and in all of our world He is the upper force, then that's how you reach it.
We are in such an environment. We're constantly reading about it and talking about it.
That's not enough.
What, quantity, quality?
The influence of society, it is not sufficient on us that will accept this.
So what do we need to do?
Keep doing it. Keep praying. Do all kinds of exercises that we will convince ourselves that the Creator is the main thing. The one, the unique, the only, and none else besides Him. That's how it is. Yeah.
In our
10, we make many actions out of the importance of the goal. Annulment, connection, caring for the friends. If there's a friend that's moving sideways a little bit, we want to bring him closer to the center of the 10. And there's the feeling that all of these actions don't always connect us. They even create more separation and separation. What in the 10 is to merit a holy soul where the importance of the Creator is revealed and everyone feels that it's a great reward to serve Him?
Well, that's how it is. If you reach such a feeling, then that's already the key to the solution.
It's as if all our actions need to feel eventually that
only towards that.
Only for that, and we can't do it alone. That there's this some outcry that...
Yeah, together. Man will help his friend.
Thank you.
Rav,
a little bit of an impression from the article. Also, the friends are mentioning it. Rabash is describing many states that we're going through, but these states are truly little clicks, very delicate ones that we're feeling in our hearts.
Yeah.
Very delicate matters. My question is, how can such delicate matters, changes in our hearts, can change our life from one end to the other?
Why not? Why not? It's enough to have let's say a little switch that takes us to an observation inside ourselves, or to observe the way society is influencing us or the Creator influencing us, and we already start being tossed from one end to the other.
I
suddenly felt that the method of reception in Bala Sulam and Rabash create certain expectations. A person who comes to the study, we're used to some big changes, something great to happen, and maybe we're missing something that's to prepare the student that the changes are these little clicks in our heart throughout years, and it's something completely different than from everything that we perceive in our lives, everything we go through. It's not regular, this thing.
It's too small. The change that you feel.
No, I actually feel very big changes. I'm saying that the expectations that we have to set for people who come in to study, also, I'm noticing this after many years altogether what I've been through, little changes in my heart.
Yeah.
And it's not something that a person expects that that's what's going to change his life, you know, these little clicks in his heart.
But gradually you come to it, that you start paying attention to those little changes in the heart. And you see that that is the main thing.
One last thing about this, when I look, let's say, at how the method of Kabbalah can expand to the multitude of people, I want to ask whether the form that we're arranged, it's hard for me to imagine people that wake up every morning at 2 for years and...
No, that's not for everybody.
So how will it be? How will people study the wisdom of Kabbalah? How, over the years, how will they hold on? What kind of environment do we have to arrange for them? Because in my mind, I only have our environment. I can't imagine something else. It's not...
This is a very unique environment. People with a very unique desire. They are in special states, men and women, that's even more, that's even more wondrous. That's it.
But, I'm sorry, but if at some point a situation will happen where the wisdom of Kabbalah will expand, it doesn't necessitate that other people will also have to wake up like us, and can we imagine a more comfortable environment for them?
Of course, of course.
A long time. The question is how we hasten time in these actions. How do we know what you need to do in order to reach
by the connection between us? The connection between us.
Now,
in the 10, we decided about a certain change, a certain move to do. And we're not succeeding, the change is not happening. And there's this worry that, okay, we're trying and it's not working. What's the advice? Do we have to continue to try other things, to renew other things, to try other advices? Or it's also not clear because we're not reaching this outcry for it to happen. What's the advice in such a case?
I don't understand.
We want to make a change in the 10 to develop in a certain direction.
Yeah.
We did actions. We tried one thing. We tried another thing. It didn't work. We tried another thing. That doesn't work. And there's beginning to be this indifference, like to give up. The question is what the advice is, how to work with this in the right way.
The advice is to find such a connection between us that will awaken the Creator to organize us, to help us.
We're trying to do this connection.
You need to invest forces in the connection between you and to show it to the Creator.
That
you're doing everything in order to succeed, but you're not succeeding.
To connect in order to invest forces in the attempts for it to happen?
Yes.
Thank you.
כן.
Rabash מסביר לנו שכל הבעיה.
Rabash explains to us that the whole problem is that we're feeling that we have no fuel to advance, and that we're missing faith. That there's partial faith, and then it's weakened. And then there's all kinds of advices, and that kind of calms us for a time, for a while, and then again we can't advance. And he says that we need to come to feel truly that this is great riches and a great pleasure to serve the king. And that that's the true remedy because that's the true cause.
Now,
first of all, it sounds really very much like the biggest lishma, lo lishma, because it's like, I want to feel a great pleasure that I'm serving the king, and then the true remedy, and everything is good.
And I'll
ask it like this. What does it mean that I really am serving the king? That I feel that I'm serving the king?
I don't know.
Can I say no? Try and scrutinize it with him.
Is it
possible, according to the response, to understand what it really is to feel the cake?
Could be demanded from him.
And
how is it really connected to the work in the ten? How does the work in the ten need to be aimed so that we will reach that?
The ten needs to organize you, to aim you, that you will be standing before the king and you're willing. You want to know how to work with them.
Meaning that faith needs to constantly grow all the time.
Could be yes, if not in quantity, so in quality.
So it could be that it's going down and coming up again all the time?
No, it's all about a person's intention. That constantly thinks about it. And tries to increase it.
He writes here, all the advices in the world that he thought might help him, he did. And nevertheless, his advice did not help him. Then he can say wholeheartedly, if the Creator doesn't help me, I am lost. As from the action of the lower ones, what they can do, they did everything and it didn't help me. There's the feeling that even in another 1,000 years, if I continue to work in this way, I will always have the feeling that there's an additional thing to add, one more thing to do. And there's another psychological disturbance here, where there's always this feeling that I'm not yet worthy. And because I'm not worthy, then I'm not asking the Creator for help. And that kind of stops you.
You're speaking correctly, well.
How do we overcome that obstacle, that obstructor? Because if you think about this rationally, you will never be worthy. And if you don't ask, you'll also not advance. It doesn't work that way. But it still bothers you. You're not capable of crossing this barrier.
Yeah.
As Mausim.
So what do you do? That's right, what he's saying.
So but Adam magia bisofo shel davar le le akhlata she im avore lo yazor lo.
Okay,
אז רצון, רצון אמיתי. איזשהו לחץ.
כן.
שזה הדבר העיקרי, שאני לא יכול בלעדיו בחיים. הכרחי.
נו, ו...
כנראה שאני אמור לקבל את זה מהחברה, מהסירייה.
כן. נו, יש לי מישהו תשובה. עכשיו, בסוף, אתה רוצה לענות? נו, תנו לו.
בוקר טוב, מילה אחת, יראה.
טוב, כן גרד.
אני חושב שזה כתוב פה בקטע בעמוד 429, טור ב' בהתחלה, הוא אומר, בעבודה שלא לשמה, שאדם רוצה לבוא לדרגת לשמה, כאן במצב הזה הוא עיקר מה שאדם צריך שמירה יתרה והבנה רבה והדרכה מיוחדת איך לצאת מהמצב דשלא לשמה ולהגיע לשמה. כי כאן המקום מסובך מאוד מחמת שאין בידי האדם לברר את האמת. כאן הוא מסביר שהוא משוחד האדם וכן הלאה. אז העניין הזה של הדרכה מיוחדת שהוא צריך לקבל. זה מהרב, מהסירייה, מהבורא, מכולם ביחד. מה זה הדרכה המיוחדת הזאת?
מכולם יחד. אתה צודק. כן? בסך הכל הוא צריך לספוק כל הדברים שהוא שומע. כן? רב, קבוצה ו... וכך לסדר את הקשר שלו עם הבורא. שיעזור לו, שימשוך אותו לפתרון. טוב, מאמר לא פשוט.
מאמר החירות, כותרת להיה חברה, החוק אחרי רבים.
The social life, the law, take after the collective. Now we have come to a clear understanding of the sentence concerning the freedom of the individual. Indeed, there is a question. Where did the collective take the right to expropriate the freedom of the individual and deny him of the most precious thing in life? Freedom. Seemingly, there is no more than brute force here. But as we have clearly explained above, it is a natural law and the decree of providence. And because providence compels each of us to lead a social life, it naturally follows that each person is obligated to secure the existence as well-being of society. And this cannot happen but through imposing the conduct of taking after the collective, ignoring the opinion of the individual. Thus you evidently see that this is the origin of every right and justification that the collective has to expropriate the freedom of the individual against his will and to place him under its authority. Therefore, it is understood that with regard to all those matters that do not concern the existence of the material life of society, there is no justification for the collective to rob and abuse the freedom of the individual in any way. If they do so, they are deemed robbers and thieves, who prefer brute force to any right or justice in the world. Since here, the obligation of the individual to obey the will of the collective does not apply. In spiritual life, take after the individual. It turns out that as far as spiritual life is concerned, there is no natural obligation on an individual to abide by society in any way. On the contrary, here applies a natural law over the collective to subjugate itself to the individual. And it is clarified in the article, the piece, that there are two ways by which Providence has enveloped and surrounded us to bring us to the end. A path of suffering, which develops us in this manner unconsciously, and a path of Torah and wisdom, which consciously develops us in this manner without any agony or coercion. Since the more developed in the generation is certainly the individual, it follows that when the public wants to relieve themselves from terrible agony and assume conscious and voluntary development, which is the path of Torah, they have no choice but to subjugate themselves and their physical freedom to the discipline of the individual and obey the orders and reminders that he will offer them. Thus you see that in spiritual matters, the authority of the collective is overturned and the law of taking after the individual is applied. That is, the developed individual. For it is plain to see that the developed and the educated in every society are always a very small minority. It follows that the success and spiritual well-being of society is bottled and sealed in the hands of the minority. Therefore, the collective is obligated to meticulously guard all the views of the few so they will not perish from the world. This is because they must know for certain, in complete confidence, that the truer and more developed views are never in the hands of the collective in authority, but in the hands of the weakest, that is, in the hands of the indistinguishable minority. This is because every wisdom and everything precious comes into the world in small quantities. Therefore, we are cautioned to preserve the views of all the individuals due to the collective's inability to sort them out.
Questions? From here, it's clear to us what relations need to be in a developed society, an advanced society, especially amongst the individuals who are developed and the regular collective. Yes, Oren.
He makes a division here between the life of society, where you have to follow the many, and spiritual life, where you need to follow the developed individuals. What is the limit? What defines what spiritual life is and what society's life is?
Spiritual life is probably those goals, ideals that people define, decide, the Kabbalists, the sages, and that's the spiritual life, and that's what we need to aspire for, and to educate our children this way, and to arrange the society this way. So the more they are drawn towards these exalted matters, accordingly, they will advance.
So there are ideals that from them actions come to our deeds.
Yes.
And then it starts getting blurred out on what will be considered the life of society, where we have to follow the many, to the life of society that were taken from ideals that you have to follow the developed minority. And those, that's where all the disputes between people are, because each one is sure that he is the minority who is developed, and according to his upper ideal, we have to organize society according to that.
So we will try to go deeper in this difference between those who are developed and those who are less developed or undeveloped, between the collective and the minority. And then we will try to define the way we will advance. What to do? How will we say, try to advance? According to, let's say, Rabash and Bala Sulam. And all the rest of the sages, to the extent in which each in his place, as much as we can somehow use what he did. But the main thing are such sages that understand how the world needs to exist and the forces, the active forces in the world, etc. Yes?
For us it's more simple, because it's clear who the wise ones are, the Kabbalists, the teachers. But here this text is speaking about how to conduct society in a good way in the world.
Yes?
So in society, the state, the world, what are we have a dispute about? Who the developed minority is? The fact that you bring the many to support your opinion, and as a result, you'll want to manage a country according to the many, the minority will come and say, I am the minority, but I'm more developed. That's why you have to follow my ideals. That's why there's a collision here in the actual life between the law that the many decide and the second law that the minority, the developed minority, has to decide. So practically, it's not clear what he's aiming towards.
To where Bala Sulam is aiming us here?
Yes, and the principles he's giving here.
He's just explaining to us how to do it. How to do, he's not telling us, almost not at all. He's saying there's a path of suffering, and there's a path of Torah, and wisdom, and that this path is with our reason, this is not with our reason. And that's what he's explaining. He is not telling us how to exist, how to observe ourselves, where the society's opinion will advance us to the goal.
לנסות להמשיך את מה שאורן
started. Let's go on the negative way. What, for example, will the Kabbalist, the developed minority, what doesn't he decide?
What does he not decide?
Yeah, because he's saying in society follow the many, not the Kabbalist.
Yes.
So what does he not determine? What does he not even engage in? What doesn't he voice his opinion about?
I don't think that a Kabbalist altogether goes out of his field and begins to disseminate his opinion in the majority, in the public. Where have you seen that?
We see that Kabbalists have a lot to say about many topics that are supposedly also in the life of society. And not only...
So
this is also blurred out. So what does a Kabbalist... What's out of his borders? What areas in life?
There's nothing that is outside the field or the area where a Kabbalist... looks at, because altogether he needs to explain to us how the world exists and by which laws we can bring it to its corrected form.
So if it's that way, I understand that a Kabbalist, we also have to follow him in a spiritual development and also how to organize society, actually in everything. There's no like opinion of society that's saying, no, we're going to determine in these areas in life after that we follow the many. And there's another different area of spiritual development where you can follow the individual, your spiritual teachers.
Because
in practice, what you explained, what I understood, is that a Kabbalist determines society's life too. He can say it about everything, how to conduct your life in all areas.
Well, if it will be that way. For the time being, it's not.
Even let's talk about us. For us in our life, our friends want to organize their life. So they hear advice, they read advice, they hear advice relevant to all our life. So where is the limit when they come and say, no, this is spiritual development and this is society's life, and here I have to work like in society.
When I am connected with the collective of people through my work, through children education, through all kinds of systems, then there I operate like a regular citizen. And I don't influence there more than anyone else.
No.
Well,
now you gave an example. Educating children.
Yes.
I heard a moment ago that child education is directly influenced by an individual because I have to educate my children according to Kabbalists.
So there's a matter of desirable and what exists. Of course, I would change the whole education, not just for children, but for the adults as well. Also in our social lives. Ooh, I would, what changes I would carry out if I could. But I am in a society that behaves according to its laws, its habits, its the nature of human beings, the small egoistic ones, and therefore Kabbalists can't do anything. Also Bala Sulam and Rabash.
So what's the advice for a friend? Well, let's start first scrutinizing
בין המצב הזה שהוא שומע,
between the state he hears that there's a desired state, what he hears from his teachers,
that
so and so is desired to be in life, but in practice, in society, it's very far before we reach it.
Yes.
So what's the advice for a person? What can he do if there's such a gap between the desired to where we are? Society doesn't follow the teacher's advice.
The society operates according to the egoistic law.
Yeah.
The main thing for them is to arrange things in such a way that each can observe them and as little as possible harm the neighbor or harm the other.
That's it.
That's how people behave.
But
still he hears that there's advice about education and all kinds of other areas in life, partnership, health, I don't know. And he hears that there's desired things like security and between what his teacher told him to reality, there's a big gap.
Yes.
What should he tell himself?
That the time of implementation has yet to come.
So he can easily put a border. I am going to develop spiritually according to the advice of the Kabbalists, and the rest, the life of society, I have to follow the many, even though it's opposite of what I'm hearing.
Yes. Yes. What do you want? That's life. Don't you see?
I see, but it gives a lot of frustration and confusion.
There's nothing you can do about it. Try to spin it some other way.
I
see on myself for a long time. I'm trying to see it in a different way. And except for frustration and confusion, I don't get much.
Yes.
But I heard that you have to educate in this way and work in that way.
So gradually, slowly, slowly, we're hoping that throughout time, also our generation, also the next generation, will already be different than what it was before. We can see that the wisdom of Kabbalah was not learned in the previous generation. Today, in any corner of the street, any street corner, you can find books, you can hear, on the internet, in every place, things. And it's all open. And let's hope that it will bring people closer in a great manner to the wisdom of Kabbalah. I hope that the next generation already at least somewhat will learn in schools. The true form of the creation of the world, of this important education that we are learning from the Kabbalah. I think these changes will be immense. The fact that, look, when I started this, it was all concealed, all hidden. They were even afraid to talk about this in a revealed manner at all.
Rabash,
Hillel, Menachem, all those teachers of mine in the wisdom of Kabbalah, it was truly all done in a hush manner, a very silent way. And today, please.
So maybe to summarize, a person who wants to scrutinize between the advice he hears about the desired state from his teachers towards his life. So what's the advice? How to scrutinize this correctly? How not to get confused?
We explain to everyone as much as possible in all kinds of means what we think, what needs to be done, what we are preparing for the next generation, meaning to our children, for our children. I really hope that we will come to a state in which our children will learn in the classroom. The wisdom of Kabbalah and our observation of life and the way we look at things. And this way they will advance even more. That's all I can say. It's very important what we can prepare for the young generation. Yes, Gershon.
So we have to aspire to this. If we have, hypothetically, for our children, egoistically, to prepare classes where they learn the wisdom of Kabbalah, the way to look at life, we have to aspire and do it, or to wait that society that one day it'll be.
Educate a child according to